This is a Defocus Media production. What's up, everyone? It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, resident optometry nerd.
And welcome to Defocus Media, optometry's number one podcast, where we discuss the hottest topics, latest technology, eyewear, practice management, and more. So sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey everybody, we are live here all across the country. I'm Dr. Jennifer Lyerly in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we are here with two of the most talented people in dry eye that in the world. And they're bringing us some really exciting new products that I think a lot of doctors have been begging for years, and reality is finally happening. So please welcome Dr. Leslie O'Dell and Amy Gallant-Sullivan.
Hello, thanks for having me and Amy.
Hi, it's great to be here.
And Daryl, Dr. Glover looks like he's just joining us too.
Yeah, what's up everyone? How are you ladies doing today? I see you looking beautiful as ever. Happy Tuesday.
Well, you guys travel all around the world talking about dry eye and ocular surface disease, so I'd love, before we get into the products we're talking about, just to get a little bit of a catch up about what's been going on with your lives.
All right, go ahead, Amy, you can start.
Oh, well, it's been really interesting because actually I was in Italy working on the TFOS conference and making sure all of the logistics were great for the September meeting. And so I actually evacuated from Italy to be back in the US. So I could be here to actually launch this product. So there were a lot of in-between maneuvers, but it's been pretty insane for the last few weeks because I've been grounded, obviously haven't been able to fly anywhere. And between TFOS and this and Eyes of the Story, last year I was on a flight every week between April and the end of December. So it's pretty intense being here right now and just grounded. I think it's the longest I haven't traveled since I was 19. So,
well, hopefully you're surviving. That is a long time.
It's different. It's very different. So now I just spend more time in front of the computer and I have to keep reminding myself to blink.
Yes, that me too. It's like a constant focus. Like, oh shoot, I need to practice what I'm preaching. Dr. O'Dell, what about you? I know you got kids at home, so that's probably keeping you more than busy.
Yeah, I've learned how to become a little bit of a teacher, but I will definitely say that I am not a teacher. but I'm trying my hardest to help them at home in between things that I'm doing actually alongside Amy. And then I'm also in a bit of a professional transition, which I'm excited about. So more to come on that soon. But I was most recently the director of dry eye services at the Dry Eye Center here in Pennsylvania. But throughout this, another opportunity has presented itself, and hopefully that will lead me to patient care in October. So, yeah.
Wow. So a lot of big changes coming up.
Yeah. But good that I have a little bit of extra time because this has been a very exciting time. And it's good. I mean, it's actually really good for Amy to probably be in the States during this time so that we can get things introduced. We were really not upset, obviously, you know, for good reason. We had to cancel Vision Expo, but it was going to be a really exciting time for us with a planned launch party there. So we're just, you know, looking ahead, right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the product since, you know, we're kind of launching more virtually now than what was expected. But Eyes Are the Story is the name of the line of products.
And mine too.
Yes. Mascara, eyeliner. Tell us the story behind these products.
Well, actually, it goes back, it feels like a century ago now. I've been working with TFOS since, my father and I launched it in January of 2002. So I've had ocular surface health on my brain for a long time now. And I remember in 2003, I actually thought, oh, I have a question, because I have to translate everything into human speak. because even though I've been around healthcare specialists my entire life, and dry eye specialists at that, I have to translate everything. So I started wondering why so many more women than men have dry eye disease. So I said, maybe there is some correlation with eye makeup and the products that women use on their face or their daily routine. So back in 2003, I actually started digging into what are the ingredients in eye makeup and could they in fact have some impact on our eye health. So the research has actually been an ongoing passion of mine for many, many years. And then I think 2015, I actually dragged Leslie in to my psychosis. Mm-hmm. Leslie, I have this great idea. I think I want to try to create something. And what do you think? So in 2015, I really started having the wheels turn and say, could this be possible? Because after working so many years in the pharma space, I kind of imagined that the beauty space would be similar and it would be really, really difficult to create something with FDA regulations and just compliance. And because after all, you put these products near your eyes. So I thought that perhaps that the beauty space would be similar. So 2016 was really spent researching the area and realizing, and Leslie's really great at explaining this in her presentations, but because the FDA regulations are pretty lax on cosmetics and beauty, I realized that there was an opportunity to maybe develop something for the eyes that could be eye friendly. So that's kind of how it started, but then it wasn't really an easy road either because the beauty industry, like the pharma industry, is very, very tight knit and getting access is quite difficult. So it's pretty easy to go online and private label a product and almost anyone can do that. You can Google something. I want to make my own mascara. Great. You can buy 15 different things, stick a label on it and sell it anywhere. That's not a problem. Mm. But what I realized is that these private label companies don't permit you to change the ingredients. And my biggest issue was the ingredients in the eye makeup and the products that we use around our eyes or on our face were offending our ocular surface. So I called probably 100 companies and I asked them, is there a way that I can re-swizzle the recipe, the ingredients for these products? And they said, no, we don't do that. And I said, okay. So that was 2016, 2017, I was able to go through my network and my network and my network and then find laboratories who were actually willing to work with me to formulate products really from scratch based on pulling out ingredients that I thought were offenders to the ocular surface. So it started from there. And again, I went from the pharmaceutical space and I spoke with those laboratories first and realized that it wasn't possible for them to create something from scratch because they needed authorization as well, et cetera, et cetera. So in the end, I was able to find laboratories in Italy, Canada, and the US who are willing to take a risk and work with me to create new formulations for the products. So it's really been incredible, really tapping my network and finding ways to formulate these products. And I like I said, I dragged in Leslie at the beginning and I said, would you be willing to try these? Because I know you have really sensitive eyes. And what do you think? So that's how it started. I mean, really, there is a lot more that went into it, but it's incredible just the road to finding laboratories that were able to and willing to take a risk on a startup that could really potentially disrupt an industry because there aren't products that specifically focus, well, say beauty products that focus on eye health. Beauty products that exist right now focus on being beautiful or being younger or glowing. But the eye health has been something that has not really been addressed. So,
Even with the clean beauty revolution
that's going on, you don't see that as much. You know what's really paying attention to the eye. So
it was really exciting to be able to see something that not only was paying attention to ingredients from a safety standpoint, but also understanding so much about the ocular surface. You know, it was really the perfect storm for Amy to be the one to launch something like this, you know, and really just serendipitous for me to find her along the way. So it's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
So I know it sounded like when you guys were first looking into this, the first thought was, okay, let's work on trying to change regulations within the cosmetic industry to make products safer. And then realizing that that was such an uphill battle, that getting any new legislation passed in the United States is extremely difficult. Okay, let's create our own products and that are made and designed to address the issues that we're seeing with our patients. How aware do you think the general public is that the products available on the market right now can be really damaging to their eyes?
I would say that that awareness is still pretty low. We have actually done some consumer surveys, you know, amongst people that we've surveyed through social media, and they lean on words that they think are important, like hypoallergenic or vegan or paraben free, but not necessarily understanding that that could be on a label of something made here in the United States and have no merit at all. So I don't think that people really know that. They might think, okay, I need to find something that's all natural or something, but they might not realize that where the, you know, where it's made matters.
I wanted to go through kind of each of the products, because in your initial launch of Eyes of the Story, you've got not a full line of beauty products, but really mean the major hitters of things that people use around their eyes that tend to cause the most irritation. So I'd love to talk to you guys a little bit about what makes each of these products different, and kind of starting out with the cleanser itself, because a lot of cleansers can really sting and burn. What ingredients are usually in facial cleansers that patients need to be aware of and concerned about that is not in here?
There are actually a lot. Leslie, you just covered one in the webinar from last week. What are some of the foaming chemicals?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So, sodium lauryl sulfates. So that's what makes any face wash soap up on your face. But obviously that can be very irritating to your eye, and strip natural oils from around your eyelid too. So, we try to avoid them as much as we can around the eye. They're also in things like toothpastes and also floor cleaners. So something maybe not to put on your eye is sodium lauryl sulfate. So that's an ingredient that was avoided in the face wash.
Right. And then there's also a serum. And serums, a lot of times, I know I myself am really worried about crow's feet and wrinkles around my face at this point in my life. So we tend to put them very close underneath our eyes. Daryl, do you have similar concerns?
Well, you know, Jen, are you telling me something that I didn't know about?
No, I was going to say, I feel like once you get to your 30s, you're like, is it too late? There's a lot that's happening to my face.
Well, you know, that is a good time to start the maintenance.
Yeah. Between my mother, my wife, and my mother-in-law, they're all into just good skin, and they naturally have beautiful skin as well. So if they see just the littlest of a blemish or anything that's on my face, they raise hell, and they're like, oh, no. You need to do this, that, and the third. But now I'm happy that I can tell them, no, you need to use this product because it's healthier, because it has less negative things in it, so that, you know, it's healthier for your eyes and just skin and everything in general. So I'm super excited about this option.
Well, what's tricky about the anti-aging creams or the serums that are used around the eyes is many of them have very strong chemicals that supposedly erase fine lines. And those we've learned can, once again, offend the ocular surface. There is one ingredient that's very popular in anti-aging eye creams and serums called retinol. And that is something that we found is definitely not ocular surface friendly. And that's just one of the ingredients, such as also we have neurotoxins, which are found in a lot of the eye serums and around the eye creams, because what they do is they paralyze the muscles around the eyes. So you lose the appearance of fine lines. And Leslie can explain more about what the neurotoxins do and why they not only, well, they can be seeped into under the skin, of course, and get into the eye, but also what happens when you start paralyzing the muscles around your eye. This is part of the complication as well. So
just like things like a Botox in a jar, is that right, Dr. Nida?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, so this is one of those common ones is arginine, Botox in a jar.
Experience with that. We were out shopping doing some due diligence, spy work one day, and I begged Leslie to do a makeover. So she was sharing makeup from the communal counter.
She really put me in harm's way, I just want to say.
I know, I'm sorry, but had to sign a legal disclaimer in advance saying this is all for research. And so they were explaining that there was this wonderful new eye serum that would make her look so much younger because she already looks 25 and she really needs to look 16 again. We said, let's try it. So we looked at the ingredients and realized that there was a neurotoxin in there. And I think it was probably a Geraline, but I don't remember which one it was because there are actually several out there. But I just remember we looked at it and started squealing and said, oh my God, it's like Botox in a jar. Woo! Well, Leslie, how long did it take before your eyes became swollen and watering?
Yeah, not too long. But I mean, there was a lot of things going on that day. Even the under eye concealer was the beauty counter woman was very excited to tell me had similar products, neurotoxins to help with fine lines and wrinkles. So that was actually something I didn't realize they were putting into under eye concealer. Makes sense from the beauty standpoint, but not so much the ocular surface standpoint. But more importantly is that even the amount of money that I spent that day, because I somehow also got talked into spending some money on these bad products, that I got a call as we were headed to lunch from my bank asking if I, you know, was fraudulent. So I'm saying women are spending a lot of money. That was at a Bergdorf Goodman beauty counter. And so not in my normal spending habits, obviously. And they wanted to check in to see if I, you know, if it was indeed me or not. But so not only are they spending a lot of money on products, they're spending a lot of money on products that are, you know, not doing good things for their ocular surface. The same thing, Jen, is mascara. I actually recently spoke to someone who had been on kind of a hiatus of mascara, you know, through the past few weeks and was going to be doing like a Zoom call with college friends and wanted to put a full face of makeup on and reached for her, you know, mascara that she used for good occasions. And she was complaining even by lunchtime about how irritated her eyes were. So mascara is another place where lots of these things hide between, you know, fragrances and formaldehydes. So that was another part that we were able to, well, that Amy was able to really give us a clean option for patients with the mascara. So do you want to talk a little bit about the magic mascara?
Is one of the, I think it was probably one of the first ingredients that I was asked to make because I do know a lot of people that do have dry eye. And I know a lot of women that get very irritated when they use eye makeup. So most of their choices were either mascara or eyeliner. And they said, can you do this for us? And I said, let me try. So the mascara started out with what are those ingredients that we really don't want near our eyes. So for example, we found in some ingredients BAC, for example, benzyl chelonium chloride has been found in mascara. And that makes everyone cringe. So we said, okay, no BAC. How about phenoxyethanol, another neurotoxin? We don't want that in there. But then there are a lot of ingredients, and I'm not a biochemist either, but again, the laboratories, I walk through all of them, whether they be emulsifiers like aluminum, for example. I walk through the different ingredients. I said, okay, what makes things flake? So we were able to walk through the ingredients of the mascara and say, okay, if we play with the preservatives and play with the flaking things and play with the drying things, what can we do to make a mascara that can stay on, not flake, not crumble, and not be irritating or burning? So those were some of the really key factors that we looked at. And I think I did about, I don't even remember how many different rounds of formulations I did for the mascara, but I love this one because it doesn't crumble into your eyes and it doesn't itch or burn. And we also did some trials on it that proves that it's okay for sensitive eyes and it's not irritating or burning. So,
and that's another, you know, really exciting thing I think about this line, Eyes of the Story, is that because they're made with the European standards, Amy had to go through these trials on patients. And so we have this data that we can share, you know, even from the beginning before you would introduce it to a patient or even try it for yourself, that we know that we can make the claim sensitive eyes. We know that it's not smudging or flaking, you know. We even know that these people would recommend it to a friend, you know, at very high percent. So it's not something that ever has to be done here in the United States when you do cosmetics, but because she was following these European guidelines, that, you know, is something that you have to do if you're going to put any word on your label. And so the mascara says for sensitive eyes. So it's nice to know that there are you know, really, you know, kind of scientific claims behind that.
And all this is also interesting about the mascara is, Leslie, if you could hold one up.
It's a sorry. Yes, I put it back in my nice box.
That's okay. But there are these mini, they're in mini
walls. Yeah, I was going to say, did you think that that looked small?
One of the great things about this, and what I was also thinking about when we were creating it, is if you think of a mascara wand, they're big, and some women can make them last for a year, and they will, you know, they use them all the time. They're around for 6 months a year. They might spend.
And they are filled with lots and lots of germs.
Yeah, and they get, every time you put on some mascara, the bacteria on your lashes goes onto the wand, you put it into the tube, and those bugs, whatever variation of bugs they are having fun in the tube. So, you know, and then they go back on your eyelashes. So you introduce more bugs onto your eyelashes, and you have, as we like to say, there are bugs having sex on your lashes. We'd like to calm that down a little bit. So we created these mini mascara. So there are three in a box, but three of those mini mascara actually add up to one full tube of mascara, which is fantastic because you have the same amount of mascara, but in the smaller tube, so they run out more quickly. So by default, hopefully you wouldn't keep it around as long, but you replace them more quickly, and then you can have less bacterial buildup, or because you have three of them, maybe you'll be less likely to spit in it or put tap water in it to rejuvenate the crustiness inside. So it's actually, it's fun to have the mini ones. And also you can put one in every purse.
Right. For traveling, you know, for your purse, like you said, and also just to really help cut down on the contamination. It's really amazing what, you know, is growing within this tube after you use it one time. And because some of these things, you know, some of the mascaras, people pay a lot of money for those as well. And so they do want to keep them around as long as possible. And they do things like put saline tears into the tube to keep it fresh, which is probably one of the worst things you can do, because it really is almost like a little petri dish after the first time we use it. So I think it's a brilliant idea having these mini tubes.
So it's
right.
You can replace them because instead of saying, how long have I kept this? Well, you just use it up. So it can easily be a month supply or maybe a 3 month supply, because maybe you only use one a month because you don't use that much mascara, but it's a great way of automatically reminding yourself, oh, it's time to replace this.
That's a brilliant idea on the size. I did not even note it. I just assumed like, oh, sample size. But I think it makes way more sense this way. I'll have packaging like this.
Actually give out samples in a clinic because you can buy a box of three, but you can hand out three mascara to your patients and say, oh, hi, try one of these. So it's also a little marketing too.
And the last thing I wanted to talk about was the face wipes, because I used these type of makeup removers wipes for years, and I always had the worst eczema on my eyelids and constant battle until I started learning from you guys how many chemicals are typically inside an eyelid remover wipe. What are some of the chemicals that are in competitor products that aren't in yours?
Well, once again, we look at a chemical like benzalkonium chloride. That's definitely in there.
Alcohol.
Ethanol. Alcohol.
Alcohol.
Again, the drying things. And I've even seen some, and perfumes. There are a lot of perfumes. And I don't understand why you would put perfumes into an eyelid wipe. But there are a lot of formaldehydes. And these wipes don't have formaldehyde in them. And they don't have neurotoxins in them. We have hyaluronic acid and
parabens. That's something I've seen.
Paraben is another one. There are a lot of different types of paraben as well. And again, you feel like you have to be a biochemist to be able to basically translate what's in your eye makeup, and it's pretty scary. But especially if you look at these, especially the eyelid wipes, you'll see aloe. Oh, I know what aloe is. It's that green plant that I have in my kitchen, so I burn myself. Oh, it's good. You know, so that's easy. So we really tried to take out a lot of the chemicals that just, you know, are offensive.
So my company use one on the air so you guys can see it's free of the harsh chemicals, but it works. It's going to take your makeup off. So I'm going to look crazy after this. But
you're very brave. I like it.
And they're also really good for refreshing the eyes. Say if you've been at the office too. Oh,
wow. Very impressive.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to. Really,
job well done, wipe.
And you look good. You don't even have a raccoon eye. I'm impressed. It looks good.
I like it.
Don't forget about the eyeliner, Jen.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the eyeliner, because this is a product that I don't know how to use. So.
Oh, I put it on today just for you.
And Leslie, actually, Leslie was, again, one of my victims when we were designing the eyeliner, because first of all, back up with eyeliners, what is one of the ingredients that I wanted to avoid? Wax. So, and again, you have the neurotoxins and the parabens and phenoxyethanol, and I didn't want them anywhere near an eyeliner, because again, with eyeliner, you put on the lid, not in the water liner. Tight line, because now we don't want to do that. But when you're putting eyeliner on the lid every day and you're introducing harsh chemicals, again, that's not a nice story. So I was looking at all of the different ways that I could formulate eyeliner, and the laboratory was actually getting irritated with me because they said, look, these are best sellers. Why don't you just use a recipe like this? Because you already know it works. And I said, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to create something that actually won't, again, offend the eyes. So I ended up opting for a liquid because I was actually able to take out a lot of the chemicals, say the thickeners or the clogging aspects of it, to create something that was a little, you know, more eye friendly. But then I don't have the patience for liquid. So I said, okay, maybe it's cleaner, but it really is. Nobody will want to use this unless they have an hour to put on their face. So what I did is, and Leslie tried it too, because she wasn't a liquid user either. And she said, well, I kind of figured out how to do it. You know, the paintbrush, putting it on. And then
I'm getting better, don't you think?
Oh, you're an expert.
I'm just kidding. I was definitely not an eyeliner wearer much.
Yeah. So it's, how do you create something that's cleaner and user friendly? So again, I went back to the laboratory. I said, okay, look, work with me here. There is a reason why we're doing this. So you have to focus. And let's make this happen. So I said, could we make something, say, I don't want to say Sharpie, but we all know what a Sharpie is. So
yeah, said, kind of like Sharpie.
Exactly. It does. I mean, even.
Yeah, like a fine tip Sharpie.
So I said, what can we do that would be as easy as using a Sharpie as an eyeliner without actually using a Sharpie? Because we know that's also not a recommended beauty routine. So it actually took a really long time, and even the component is aluminum. So I was really particular about that too, because I love the weight of it. It isn't just a light plastic, mm-hmm. which a lot of eyeliner casings are that we're used to using, but I love the aluminum because it gave it a little bit more weight, so it was easier to apply. So I went for the liquid with the felt tip, so it was easier to apply, and the ingredients were more friendly for the ocular surface, but I love the component. So that was actually really challenging to do. But at the end of the day, the laboratory said, okay. So
I think it works great. Now I do have a question. Do you shake it before you use it, or is that just part of that aluminum?
I guess you could shake it.
I just feel like something, like it feels like almost like a pen. Like I would want to shake it to make sure that the liquid's coming down.
I've tried it before. I guess it does work, shaking or not shaking.
Yeah.
You have to shake it.
It doesn't seem to make a mess, but I don't know where my hand is. I'll show you. There it is. Where?
There. All right.
It's easy to go on.
Oh, wow. That goes on really easily. That's great.
So, and it's really good too, because you can make a really, really thin line, or you can do a really thick line. So some women like to do very extravagant cat eye eyes, but you can actually just line the lid with a really thin line. But it's easy to control and it stays on.
Yeah, it stays on. It's not waterproof and easy to take off, you know, with the proper remover. So all good things.
I may start wearing eyeliner.
I think you're going to like it. It's definitely fun.
And we'll definitely
fun. And the cat eye is a big trend. So we'll be seeing you doing that, Jen, I think.
And you don't have to do a dramatic cat eye. You don't have to look like you're going on Paris. But we're also working on colors, some basic colors for the second generation. So the first generation of products, we really wanted to address what women use on a daily basis, what they would use before they go to work in the morning, or what they should do before they go to bed at night.
And so, men too, right? So, I mean, the whole, it's beauty and cosmetics to address everybody's needs. So we all should be using a face wash like Daryl said, it's good to start as young as you can using some kind of serum. So to help with the fine lines and wrinkles. So I think that it really, and the eye wipes, it really covers all bases for sure.
The eye wipes and the serum and the cleanser, and none of them have perfumes either. So for example, for men, they wouldn't want to put something on their face that has a floral or fruity scent. Neither would I, but just, you know, not, there aren't any perfumes. So if you look at that, that's really good too, because both men and women can use the products. And again, for the towelettes or the eyelid wipes, they can be used to remove the eyeliner or the and the mascara, or just as a refreshing eyelid cleanser. So whether you're using it in front of the computer at the office, or you're using it before you go to bed at night or the first thing in the morning, they're good for lid hygiene, which we all know is very important. So, and they're also two box sets. So, because since we did want everyone to know that you don't have to wear eye makeup, there's one box, there's the 2020 capsule collection. And these are limited edition boxes for our launch. So these are special. And the 2020 capsule collection, obviously there's a lot behind 2020. It's the year 2020, 2020 is perfect vision. But the capsule collection has the full size cleanser, the face wash, a full size serum, which moisturizes around the eye, but you can also use it on your face. So it's multi-purpose. And then you have a full size eyeliner, you have one mini mascara, and then you have 10 eyelid wipes. Then there's the Trinacria collection, which is has one full serum, one full cleanser, and then 10 eyelid wipes. So you actually have a box with the eye makeup and without. So you have choice. But they're great samplers because patients can have a choice to buy one or the other, and then they can refill the products individually. So
we've got a few questions coming in that I'd love to get you guys answers on. Marina wants to know, how many times a day is the serum recommended?
Well, that's a personal choice, really. I typically use moisturizer around my eyes at night before I go to bed, just because I wear a sun cream on my face during the day. So I don't put an additional serum on top of the sun cream, because then my face would just feel gooey. So that's personal. So I do moisturizing serums, anything at night, but you can use it also under makeup, because it's not a greasy serum. It actually gets absorbed into the skin really nicely. So.
Yeah, I actually use it both ways. Like you were saying, I actually use it underneath my foundation because it isn't greasy and it just helps to hydrate my skin before I put anything over top.
The other thing, if you guys like to multi-purpose, a great thing with the serum, after you do your makeup, if you want to add like a little glow to areas that you feel like look too matte, you can go over top again as like a little bit of added reflection.
Right.
On like the apples of your cheeks. Now. You can use it three different ways.
Yeah.
You can also use it here. You can use it on your neck. You can use it here.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It really depends. I know people that do use it all over their face as well, because they just love the silky feeling. So it's up to you.
Another question we've got coming in from LinkedIn is from Diane Samuel. And she says, how are you distributing and where will women be able to buy these products?
Leslie?
Oh, so we are distributing online right now, online sales through affiliate links. And really, if you have a clinic or I guess really what you need to have is a PayPal account. And then you can reach out to info@eyesarethestory and we can set you up with an affiliate link.
They'll also be able to be sold in clinics when clinics are able to open again. So it's a great opportunity to start a conversation with your patients about it during these odd times, shall we say, but you can have the affiliate link to share with your patients via email or your social media accounts. Again, you just need to have a PayPal account so you can get returns on the purchases. And then when the clinics reopen, we will have wholesale prices for the clinics. So that's also an opportunity, but we'll still continue online referrals. Otherwise, people can just go online to eyesarethestory.com and buy the products there.
I think this is such a great option because some offices love being able to retail products from their office and others find it just easier to be like, oh, here, go online to this website and you purchase there. So there's a lot of different ways to get your patients access to these products. But when you have that ability to specifically recommend a product, that's what we've been missing this entire time, right? I've been telling my patients, well, avoid these ingredients and products. Mm-hmm. I've never had a product to say, here's a place where you can go and get products that are safe. And now we're going to be able to say that, which is just an incredible game changer for the industry. I've got another question about the eyeliner. How, if used every day, how long should one tube last?
Well, again, that's personal, because if you want a really, really thin line, it could last longer, or a thick line, less. But I like to say it's a 1 month supply, because again, I look at it from the bacterial buildup aspect and the hygiene aspect. So again, anything that you put on your lid and then let sit in the tube and in the wands, it's just for hygiene purposes, I would say 1 month. But
I will say though, check this out. I was just, so it's totally smudge proof. I mean, wow. That's pretty awesome, right? I'm like rubbing and it's not coming off. So that's a lot of times a problem for our patients, or, you know, women wearing eyeliner, is they rub their eye in the middle of the day and now they look like they have a raccoon eye. So that's really, really nice to see. I'm always afraid to touch my eye, but I was just playing with my hand and realized that it's very much smudge proof, which is unusual, you know, unusual to get in such a...
So my skin is really oily. It stays on. It is smudge proof. So
yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
Obviously has different types of skin as well, but it does last. But I like to recommend replace every month, just because I'm a hygiene freak. So, but that's,
I think monthly for liquid anything is, I mean, the more you learn about the way these chemicals are interacting with the, and not even chemicals, just the way, you know, even the bacteria biofilm that's naturally living on our eyelids, right? And moist, dark places like an eyeliner tube or a mascara. I think the more that we just push patients to be thinking about monthly renewal is good, good for hygiene for sure. And good for ocular irritants as well.
So Melissa DeBella has a question about future products. I know you mentioned that there are plans for different color options in some of the mascara or eyeliner products. She says, are you planning to launch a product that incorporates a healthier sunscreen option, as most dermatologists recommend wearing sunscreen daily on your face?
That would be amazing. And we're definitely looking into it. It's on our hit list of, or I should say on our wish list. It takes a lot of time to develop something that is, again, ocular surface friendly. It's not something that you can just snap and put on the shelf, because again, you need to actually create the formulation and do the trials and just make sure it is actually valid, because that's part of our story. We do everything from the beginning, and we want to make sure it's appropriate. So it's definitely something that we're looking at, but we have to find the right recipe and we have to go through the trials. So it might not be the second generation, but maybe the third generation. So we are working closely with a pharmaceutical company as well, who's helping us make some special products for the second generation. So that's exciting. Including colors. The pharmaceutical company isn't doing colors, but we are addressing other products. So sun cream, hopefully soon.
Definitely something to keep on the wish list. As you know, as we know that 5 to 10% of skin cancers are occurring around the lids. So I think it's definitely a good question, and hopefully we can work on future generations that would be able to address that.
Thank you guys so very much for joining us this evening. I can feel the excitement around these products and how much people are eager to use them for their own sensitive eyes, but get them into the hands of our patients. Oh, I got another question that just popped up, and she says, Haley says, does the cleanser remove makeup? And I would say,
oh, absolutely. Yes. The facial cleanser does, but also the eye wipes and the eye tablets do as well. So we've got you covered.
Not waterproof eye makeup or waterproof makeup. So if it's the type of makeup that you need a power drill to remove, no, it's not going to work. So, but the Eyes Are the Story eyeliner, mascara, yes. And then Leslie, you wear foundation. So
yeah, definitely does a good job on my face.
I just wear sun cream and mascara and eyeliner. So that's,
wow.
They're usually this pink, but it's really warm where I am right now. So yeah.
Well, what is a good place for people to follow along or reach out to you if they want to learn more information about this product?
Well, the easiest would be go to the website, eyesarethestory.com, or follow us on Instagram, Eyes Are The Story, and Facebook, Eyes Are The Story. Or email info@eyesarethestory.com. It's very simple because eyes are our story, that's our focus, and we want to keep it simple.
Thank you again, and have a wonderful rest of your evening. As you can see, we got all glammed up in our quarantine tonight.
Yes, we had to get fancy for this, right? This is a big
cost.
Yeah.
No, but also if you have other questions, we do have the private group for ECPs on Facebook. So, you know, please contact Leslie or Jen and they can extend an invitation to
that. So. Thank you. Thank you, Jen.
All right, colleagues, and it's a wrap. Thank you dearly for hanging out with the Defocus Media team. We hope truly something resonated with you. And if it did, be sure to give us 5 stars. And make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, you named it. And our handle is @DefocusMedia on all platforms. And until next time, be sure to keep it 2020. And we look forward to seeing you on the next episode.